This is your girl, Sana Star, coming to you with another episode of A Day in the Life of the Alpha Woman, the official podcast of the Easy Breezy Life Community. Before I jump into today's topic, if this is your first time joining us, the Easy Breezy Life is a community of strong-willed women who understand that it can be so challenging to manage faith, family, life, and pursue our goals. Well, here at the Easy Breezy Life, you're going to find a community of like-minded women who are just as fierce, focused, and fired up as you are. It's also important that I let you know that everything we share on this platform is for education and entertainment purposes only. Because we believe that the Easy Breezy Life is a group project, we want you to seek out professional help in every way, shape, or form that you might need it. We are going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with this week's episode. Want to know how I save tons of money on a Caribbean vacation while earning cash back? It's easy. The answer is Rakuten. Sign up online today using the link in our episode notes so you can start saving and earning cash back on your favorite online stores.
So will I. If the ocean's royal praise is so alive, for if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. The wind goes where you send it, so will I. Oh. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sound of all our praises still falls shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times.
Yeah. substitute. What's his name?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, Jubilee Place. Give me some emojis. Can you hear me right now? Give me some emojis. I want to make sure that y'all can hear me well as we are speaking. Good evening. Good evening. It is Thursday night Bible study, and I am so blessed to be here with you all. Today, we are talking about finishing well. If you joined us for service last week, then you know that Pastor Tayo had a conversation with us about finishing well. And I have to tell you that I walked away with so much from that sermon. It was such a blessing. So today we're going to continue that conversation about finishing well. Before we do, I want to encourage you, like, share, comment. Let me know that you're here, who's tuning in this evening with us. And make sure that you tell a friend to join church online, studying with us together, right? The family that prays together stays together. We are coming here because we're not forsaking the gathering of the saints. And I fully believe that even if we gather online, God sees us, he honors what we're doing tonight, and that we are blessed as a corporate body as a result. So please comment, let me know that you're here. Hello, Pastor Ben. Hello there, Mr. Oluwafemi. It's good to see you this evening. Tell a friend, tell a friend. Before we get started, I want us to start with a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this opportunity to join this conversation today, to be amongst your people, to share and impart what it means to finish well in this year. We just thank you first for shielding every family of Jubilee and every single person connected to us under your shadow. We thank you for commissioning your angels to watch over us. Lord, before we start, we just ask for forgiveness, your mercy, and your goodness that you've given to us only because of Christ and not because of our works. We thank you that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and receive mercy tonight. As we seek for forgiveness, Lord God, we also release anyone who we will be harboring resentment or unforgiveness or bitterness towards in this moment. We thank you, Father God, that you are healing every single one of our wounds. We're keeping testimonies and lessons and releasing offenses so that we can obtain all of the blessings that you have for us in this year, in this season. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. So I was so blessed by the message that Pastor Tayo preached this past Sunday. And I want to tell you what the biggest takeaway was for me. One of the things that we talk about as believers is, you know, being in community. And it stuck out to me because I've always been a person who could really isolate themselves from people for extended periods of time and not necessarily miss being around people. But how many of you know that it makes it very difficult when you're that personality to get married? It makes it very difficult when you're that kind of personality to have children. And if we're not careful and we don't yield that part of our life, right, this need to isolate, this need to have our personal space, then we end up falling short of our destiny, not because we didn't mean well, but because God intended for us to achieve our purpose and destiny in community. So Pastor Tayo talked about Samson and how every time Samson fell, it was because he isolated himself and was making decisions by himself. And what happened? Samson, who was anointed, who was blessed, who was a child of promise for his mom, ends up falling into the hands of his enemies because he had no one, or we don't really know, right? It doesn't say. He had no one to caution him or to pull him out when it came time to make decisions from his position of weakness. What does Samson say? The character of Samson tells us that no matter how mighty we are, no matter how capable we are, no matter how many people we can send out or destroy, no matter how big the army we can destroy, or the gifts or the anointing or the promise that God has given us, God expects us to be people of honor, and he expects us to be in community, and he expects us to yield, right, to the leading of the Holy Spirit, which in the Old Testament, people didn't have the Holy Spirit. So they had to yield to the instructions given by God and through the priests for people's life. And what happened with Samson is that he didn't necessarily follow those principles that were outlined in order for his life to finish and end well. Now, here's the thing about God that we also see in the story of Samson. Even though Samson did not do all of the things that he was supposed to do at the end of his life, God still uses him mightily. But how many of you know it's still a life cut short? And knowing what we know about God and his expectation for us and how he sent Jesus to die for us, I'm willing to bet that it was not God's will or his desire to see Samson die in that way, or to see Samson turned over to his enemies. The same thing goes for us, right? Sometimes we have the vision right. Sometimes we have the mission right. Sometimes our hearts are in the right place, but we can commit tactical errors. And if there's anything that I know about in my life, it is about the price we pay when we make a tactical error. I have failed more than I have succeeded in my walk with God. And I will tell you why. I am a person that very early in my Christian life, I had dreams, I had visions, and could hear the Holy Spirit. What was lacking was a spirit of discernment and praying for a spirit of interpretation. So I would hear a word, the Holy Spirit would utter something to me, and rather than go back and inquire of the Lord and say, God, give me clarity on this thing. What do you mean? How do you want me to do it? How do you want me to walk? When do you want me to do it? Please help. I would say, oh, I saw this in my dream. I'm running with this vision. I would run with whatever I saw, not getting clarity, being very literal, not seeking, not fasting. And then I would make a mistake that God would either have to deliver me out of, or sometimes he would allow me to walk through so that I know next time to not jump ahead of him. It is hard, right? Especially when by worldly standards, you're well-read, you're well-studied, right? You got it all going on. You think you're so smart. You have your house. You have a nice place to stay. You got a nice fancy car. And now we believe that our worldly wisdom extends up beyond the Bible's wisdom, which a lot of times I have found God's wisdom is completely different, moves at a completely different pace in a completely different direction than I would ever go. A lot of times his decisions, the way to finish well, the way to good success, seem like foolishness. And so as we open up today's study, we're going to look at some biblical characters, people who I believe finished well. They did the assignment that God called for them to do in the Bible, and some of the character traits amongst them that were consistent. Amen. Let's get into it. You are my life. All right. I like to anchor the scripture because last week, and probably for the continuation of the rest of this month, we're going to start with Joshua 1:8, King James Version, where it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou must observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." There's another scripture in the Bible that also talks about finishing well. And this particular scripture, we see in Paul's final letters where he's saying that he's getting ready to depart from this world. I have run my race. I have finished it well. I'm getting ready to go. The funny thing about Paul's departure is that Paul's departure was not the way we want to go, right? Like Paul was persecuted. He was part of the early church. And when you look at Paul's walk with God, he actually got in trouble all the time. People didn't like him, but for some reason, that didn't bother Paul. Paul was a person who was willing to suffer for Christ. He was ready to pay the price. And in the end of his life, while he's writing these letters from prison, he's encouraging people, all while being persecuted, abused, and knowing that death was awaiting him. And so I say that we sometimes believe that success looks one way. Finishing well looks one way to God, and it may look different to him completely. And part of the Christian life that I think we're struggling with is when God's finished well comes with a closed door. I am a person who believes that if I do right, if I follow what God tells me to do, if I pray, then my expected end in a particular place or season should look the way I want it to. And sometimes it doesn't. So the first thing to remember is that in finishing well, there's a part of this that is surrender. But there's also the guarantee that when we suffer with Christ, we also share in his glory. So people may look at the end of Paul's life and say, this didn't go well. But others may also look at Paul's life and say, most of what we read in the New Testament was written by Paul. He is a father of the faith in many similar ways as Abraham as. And if it wasn't for the work that he did, then many of us in church would not know the way to walk, right? And so Paul's legacy outlived him. Paul's legacy has longevity. Paul's legacy has helped to build and establish the Christian family and the Christian church. He finished well. There are also some other components or some other aspects of finishing well that I've noticed that I want us to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about five, and then I got a bonus one. First is vision, resolve, integrity, faithfulness, endurance, and then the last thing is systems. If you look at the way the seasons shift, if you look at the way life goes, it is very difficult to not see that God is a God of systems. In many ways, God has set up the world to run in autopilot, right? He commanded the water to do what it does, commanded the moon to do what it does. The earth spins, the sun burns, things do what they do. And it's not like God is moving the solar system nonstop. No. Imagine it's kind of like a computer, right? Like he programmed it and it runs. It does what it's supposed to do, just as the seasons of our life. So if we are similar to the maker, then when it comes to the system part of our life, then definitely he's expecting us to run with a system and process. Do system and processes guarantee success? No, but they definitely, you're definitely better off with them than without them. I'll put it that way. So let's talk about a Bible character who portrayed and exemplified vision. Joseph was a person who had a lot of visions from God. But let's look at what we might call an error, which was sharing his dream with his siblings that caused him to go into slavery, that caused him to be in poverty house, that caused him to go to jail. We could also argue, though, that the process that this supposed error took Joseph on was also what made him well acquainted with every aspect of Egypt. He knew what was happening in slavery, the poorest of society. He knew what was happening in the jail. He knew what was happening in the marketplace because he was sold in slavery. He knew what was happening in the homes of the elite. So by the time he had gone through all of that process and came before the king, his struggles and the trials were his training ground. Unlike Daniel, where they were prepared, unlike Esther, where they were prepared for a particular assignment in the king's palace, Joseph's whole life became a crash course on instruction to get before the king, where he was trusted to be second in command to Pharaoh. And so Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 3 says, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. Vision is key for finishing well. And I want you to think right now, go back to January 2022. What was the vision you had for this year? Did you even have a vision? Did you even write a letter to God saying, Lord, this year, these are the five things that I want? I have a habit of sitting down at the end of the year and thinking about my faith life, the life of my siblings, the life of my children, the life of my husband, thinking about the work that I do and what I want to accomplish in that next year. And I write those things down. I may never look at it again, but I write it down because I want to make sure that I made my expectation known to God. And I want to make sure that I give God room to share his expectation for me. I have to be sincere with you. With the way that my life goes, I tell God what I want, but I'm always willing to be flexible because he might change his mind. And so at any given moment, when there's a vision, there's a desire, I do commit that to the Lord, but I don't allow that desire to become an idol in my life, because God can go another direction. And sometimes he will promise you promotion, but it's not in the way that you thought. Sometimes he will promise you love. It's not in the way that you thought. Sometimes he promises us peace, and it's not in the way that you thought. Joseph saw his siblings bow before him, but it didn't come in the way that he thought. So vision is key. Seeking God's face for that vision is key. But then also knowing we don't get to decide what direction God takes us. He orders the steps of the righteous. We can make our plans. I can write my letters. But at the end of the day, the Lord is the one who orders and establishes our steps. And it is so important that we not be rigid, that we not be so vision oriented, that when God starts to lean and tell us to rock, we can't lean and rock. See, that was a mistake that I made very early in my Christian walk. And God would always tell me, I would rather you come willingly than for you to become like a horse or a mule who I have to put a bridle, put something in your life that now forces you to obey, to do what I need you to do. And let's be sincere. I didn't listen, okay? And in many instances of my life, God has indeed done that. He has put a stopgap to say, you will obey. There are conditions to your blessings. And because you have proven yourself to be hard-headed, this is how we're going to do it. So it's so interesting that in a time where everybody is talking about people having the choice to choose their destiny, make your own life, build your own empire, there are some of us who don't have a choice. There are some of us, similar to Samson, who when we don't walk in the way that God told us to walk, it costs us greatly, because we've been called and chosen and assigned a very particular purpose. And maybe you're the person that needs to hear this today. I try to do what everybody else do. It don't go the same. Everybody else found luck in cutting this corner. I try to cut it and it ain't work. Somebody said something to me this past weekend that was so powerful. That is like, yes, know the way that God works with you. Know what you've been graced for. As a person who is creative and loves to have their hands in so many things, there's so many times people come like, oh, this is great. This is great. This is great. This is great. But you know what the issue is? God's already given me a vision for my life. And when said thing sounds like a great opportunity, but it doesn't match the vision that God gave me, and I don't get a release from God to step into that thing, then I have learned where he didn't give me the grace to go, I'm not going to be able to execute. I can only do what God has graced me to do and nothing else. And that is, my friends, running a race that is focused on vision. Who else showed great tenacity to finish well? I've already talked about Paul, right? So I'm going to talk about Esther. The character of Esther, the humility of Esther, the times are tough, so I'm not going to run Esther. The I'm going to violate protocol, fast and pray and seek the Lord's face. But sometimes finishing well means sacrificing, or as it says here in Galatians 2:20, being crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we really get committed to finishing well in God's definitions, in God's terms, we also agree to living according to God's purpose and will for our life. And this is very difficult sometimes to wrap our mind around, because God's will and purpose for our life might require us to be amongst people we don't feel comfortable with, might require us to remain in a workplace that we don't feel is easy, might require us to serve a community that we don't think sees our worth. To be crucified with Christ is to walk through all of the things that he experienced. And while not dying a physical death,
It is dying to our own desires, dying to our own will, dying to our need to control in exchange for what God wants. It looks like saying, God, I want X, Y, Z from this, but more importantly, Lord, I want what you want. That's really what the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was. Jesus sweating blood and saying, oh my God, Lord, take this cup away from me. These people are in here. The ones you sent to help, they sleep. You're sleeping in my hour of affliction. I don't want to do this. Right? I wonder that if Jesus is sorry, he's like, these people you're asking me to die for don't even care about me. If this cup can pass over, Lord, please let it pass over. Surely Jesus had a chance to obey. He obeyed until death because he wanted to finish well according to his father's mandate, not according to his desire, right? He was a man acquainted with the pains, the shortcomings, the temptation that we face in this flesh. So just like us, he had a choice to die or not. And he was obedient up until death. We don't talk about that when we talk about finishing well. Sometimes the image we have of finishing well is us living a peaceful, lavish life. It doesn't involve dying to self. It doesn't involve living according to the Spirit of God sometimes. And I think it's important that in this season, as we become reflective about how we've lived this past year and how we want to live this first year, we ask ourselves, what part of us are we allowing to let die so that we can run the race that God has set before us as mature believers? Because we're not all in the same place. Mature believers. The next aspect important to finishing well, integrity, right? We talked about Joseph. Down to the last minute, down to his own suffering, because Joseph did die multiple deaths, right? If you really think about it, Joseph's character, he died multiple deaths before getting to his expected end, being put in a pit. We can liken to a death, being sold to slavery, can liken to a death. His dad had money. His dad had shepherd. His dad had a special jacket. All of that was stripped away from him. That could be a death of his nobility. You go in and then you are stripped again, made a criminal in society. We could say that that in and of itself is like three deaths. Right? But on the third day, everything we see in the Old Testament and the characters that we see and the people in the stories are just a foretelling of what Christ would ultimately walk through. The suffering, the wilderness. If you look at every champion, there is a journey to finishing well. And that journey's got a lot of bumps and scrapes along the way. But what do we expect? Let integrity and uprightness uphold us, O Lord, because we wait on you. I trust in you. So that means that the trials come, the winds will blow, the storms will come, all of those things will come. And we are depending on God's grace and on his mercy to help us finish well. Now, I want to also say that even in our pursuit of integrity, it will still be rags before Christ. But the way that I liken grace is, I put in my effort and God breathes on the rest. I put in my effort and God breathes on the rest. Integrity is not about you becoming morality police. Why am I sharing this? Because maybe somebody who's listening in today interprets things literally like I do. You will know when you listen to Apostle Paul that Apostle Paul was a legalist, right? And perhaps that's what made him the right person to stand against the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders of that day, because he had read that text. He studied that text. He knew what it said. So he could go toe to toe with the most judgmental of them all when it came to the law. But our purpose in learning the law, our purpose in learning about integrity is not, right? So we can beat people over the head with it. Our purpose in learning it is so that we can watch the way that we walk. It's so that we can be in alignment. It's so that our conscience can be clear. But do we all fail daily? Definitely. And I've even learned, like, as we look at the life of David, that in some instances, if you're honest, it's going to kill you. It's going to get you killed. Let's look, for example, David, when he made himself a fool before a king. Why did he do that? He knew he was in complete danger. Someone could say that David showed a lack of integrity by playing the fool in that moment, by pretending to be crazy in that moment. Someone could also say that David chose to live another day to fulfill destiny. I've always been so legalistic about interpreting the word of God. And that was not why God created the law. That's not what the Bible is for. The Bible is more so to give you a picture of all the ways that you fall short, right? So it's taking the log out of your own eye before you take the splinter out of somebody else's eye. And I believe that if we all really sat and focused on ourselves and looked at our lives and studied our lives, we really would have no time to condemn other people because we just see what a hot mess we are. So when we talk about integrity, it's the intention to do well and the steps to carry through. Knowing that in this human body, you're going to fall short. And grace allows us to not be riddled with condemnation and guilt. But the Holy Spirit also writes the laws and the expectation and the principles of God on our heart to be a sense of direction for us and tell us where to go. Amen. Next, we want to talk about the faithfulness, right? Being trustworthy. Can God trust you? Can I trust you with this little to give you more? And sometimes the thing that God is trusting us with seems so minuscule, but what we don't realize is that he is testing us for a greater assignment, right? There's these money advising people who give money principles. And what they basically say is that the principles of the pennies are similar as the principle of millions. How you manage pennies is how you're going to manage millions. So people are waiting, right, to get rich, to be good at money management, when really it's with the pennies that you should get good at money management, because those spiritual principles are the same. So this idea of pennies versus millions is the same as the Bible of being faithful with little so that God can entrust us with much. This is why you can sometimes see people struggling for years on end, and then all of a sudden they seem to take out and they become an overnight success, which actually that's not what's happened. What has actually happened in these individuals' lives is that they've been faithful with little for so long that all of a sudden God says, now is your season of breakthrough. I'm going to bring you into a great and wide space. Let's be real. The Israelites who were in the wilderness had not managed enough in that wilderness to take possession of the land. Joshua had not managed enough in the wilderness to really have the skill and know-how to possess the land. But their faithfulness, his faithfulness with what God had given him in the wilderness, his trustworthiness with what God had given him in the wilderness, was what qualified him for greater, larger, more. 31 battles. Victory after victory after victory after victory without being in the military. Faithful with one assignment. Go in, spy on the land, and tell me what you see. That was Joshua and Caleb's defining moment. Because we don't really hear about another defining moment. What made them eligible was their faithfulness and right vision. At a time where nobody else could see it and no one else could commit. And so the scripture that we're going to anchor this faithfulness is in Matthew chapter 25 to 23. And it says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Step into the joy of the Lord. So maybe you are someone who feels like you've been managing meager resources for decades. Maybe you are someone who's like, oh my gosh, like I know I'm doing all the right things. Like, what is going on? People seem to be taking off higher. And there was a pastor who preached one day and said, you're watching people take off before you, but you don't know that in our Father's house, everybody has an assignment. Somebody can be the floor and you're being designed to be a pillar. And so this is about running our race with faithfulness, setting our faith like a flint, continuing to do what God told us to do because he's got a greater and expected end. And when you've got that kind of anointing to be a ruler over many, you'd better believe that your preparation ground, your tests, your trials are going to look differently. God is looking to see, are you proven? Are you trustworthy? Will you stay faithful in the sight of opposition? Touch somebody, text somebody. Keep the faith. And then endurance. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. A couple things jump out at me here, right? Tribulations, perseverance, gives us access by faith into grace. Why is it that the tribulations and the perseverance in this particular scripture come before the faith and the grace? Could it be that the tribulations produce the perseverance to develop and cultivate our faith that causes us to receive the grace? And to really fully receive and be able to carry what God has for us through his glory. Again, we've got a vision. I have a vision. But I don't get to determine that path. And so often the path to promotion, the path to elevation, the path to finishing well is riddled with battle, persecution, trials and tribulations. And so if you are facing it, I want to let you know, rejoice, because you are in good company. You are entrusted. You are called. You are chosen. And they are temporary, momentary afflictions that are working out for you a glory that far exceeds any of the pain that you are going through now. But you have to turn your mind toward faith. In disappointment, in loss, in persecution, in unfair circumstances, our minds have to be fixed on the promises of God. And I think the final thing that I kind of want to close off and talk about today is to understand that God is a God who believes in process. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17 says that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and in righteousness. This kind of goes back to what Pastor Tayo was talking about with us, right? What was missing in Samson's life? It wasn't wit. He was very smart. He had discernment. He knew that Delilah was problematic. What was missing for Samson was discipline. And one of the things that I always started to pray for in God now is, God, help me to not make a tactical error. Help me to do this with precision. Help me because I've been able to study my life and study my battles and study my weaknesses to know every time I've struggled, it's been associated with X. Every time I failed at the age of breakthrough has been associated with this. Every time I've done that, this part of my personality has gotten the best of me. And even to the point where the other day I said, Lord, I've been wrestling with this part of my character for years. I've been asking for your help. I've been asking you for this. You are not taking it away. You're not giving me a way out. What was his answer? It's only through my word, honey. So that means that if the tactical solution to this particular struggle that I was having was being immersed in God's word, and I was fasting and I was praying and I'm worshiping, then I have not attacked or I have not addressed the particular issue in the right way. God's got a different tactic for every battle, for every weakness, and he works with us as individuals. And it is so important that we cultivate our individual personal relationships with him to know how he works with us. This is why it's so dangerous to go read someone else's testimony and try to copy and paste their steps. Because he works differently and individually with everyone. Yes, we all have to go through character. Yes, we all have to go through trials. Yes, our trials and tribulations may be different, but the instructions for your life, the instruction for this particular weakness or issue, even if it be the same as someone else, may be unique and specific. This is why who we surround ourselves with matters, the mentors, the people around us. And I always like to say that I don't have friends. I have purpose partners only. In my personal life, purpose partners only. In the workspace, purpose partners only. What's the purpose? Because if this is not feeding the destiny or feeding the purpose of the call of God in my life, then you, my friend, become a potential stumbling block. Because it's already hard to walk in agreement when people have a shared purpose. Imagine you trying to live a life to walk in accordance and agreement with God's word, and you are surrounded or immersing or feeding yourself with things that are contrary to his plan and will for your life. And someone recently told me, give me a meditation that was so powerful, that really has helped to anchor me in tough situations and I think will be helpful to you. And she says, I just do this as a repetition for the good of all, the harm of none, on things above and not beneath. And it helps us to anchor our intention, but it also helps us to anchor our strategy. Let me give you an example, right? The good of all. Finishing well should not just be about you and your family and your friends being blessed. The good of all should be with the intent to reproduce that blessing in the life of others. Go out, be fruitful, multiply, and possess the land. If finishing well just looks like glory for you and you not being able to become a conduit or the avenue that God uses to bless other people, you may be finishing well according to someone's definition other than God's. The harm of none. Jesus came and died for all of the world, believers, sinners, atheist, gay, lesbian, hood, ratchet, anointed, blessed, millionaire, poor, everybody, so that everybody could have the access if they so chose to get to God. And what I have learned is that God feels some way about his sheep, even the stray sheep, even the atheist sheep. When we represent him, he wants us to represent him in front of all of those people. I can't tell you the amount of times that God has made me apologize to someone who did not believe in Jesus and did something wrong to me simply because of the way that I handled them. Simply because of the way I chose to respond and it not reflecting the love of Christ. So he's not just watching what's happening to us. He's watching in our persecution how we respond. If we will harm his sheep because we've been harmed, or are we going to be like Jesus? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Let me tell you something. I've had women mentors in my life tell me that I said that to be like Christ is to die. I said, okay, well, Jesus died for them, so I'm not dying for them. But I want to say that there's a boundary with that, right? God expects us in character-wise and our conduct to continually take the higher ground. Likewise, also, it is not permission. The harm of none is also you. So when proximity, when relationships, even if it's with family members, threaten to harm you and cause you to stumble in your walk, it is better for you to be apart from bad company than to be amongst them. And now your faith is struggling, your walk is stumbling, your assignment can't come to pass because of the temptation you are facing every time you are near such people, right? So harm of none is the people around us, but you're also included in that, my friend. God cares about his sheep, including you. Things above and not beneath. What are the things above? The things that focus on the fruits of the Spirit. How can I get closer to portraying that in my life every single day? And I'll tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I don't get in that word, day one, day two, day three, those fruits of the Spirit go right out the window. There's no reserve. I don't have a gasoline tank of kindness. I don't have a gasoline tank of joy. I don't have a gasoline tank of peace. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. That means morning by morning, I still got to seek out the word of God so that I can be gentle, so that I can be joyful, so that I can be peaceful, so that I can be kind, so that I can be loving, so that I can be all of those things. It does not run on autopilot. You got to renew it every day. It's like drinking water. You've got to renew it every day, right? We've got to take from the well every single day to fill that part of our life. There's a secular saying that where a grandfather's warning his grandson, and it says, you know, in your life, there will always be two wolves on the inside of you. One that is jealous, one that is envious, one that is dark, one that is mean, one that is demeaning. The other one will do good, will want good. And the one that grows is the one that you feed. And the one that you feed is the one that wins. Finishing well for us as believers does not happen outside of the word of God. And yes, we thank God for the Holy Spirit that can do give us promptings. But the word is the instruction manual to simplify it. And so I like to say that it doesn't have to be 30 minutes, because I used to think as a baby Christian that if I wasn't praying in tongues for 3 hours, if I couldn't pray and yell at the top of my lungs for 1 hour, if I couldn't read the Bible in King James Version, them thou thouest, and pray in that way, then I just wasn't holy enough to get close to God. And I have learned that all of those things are semantics created by human beings. He's looking for a sincere heart. And God will literally take anything you give him. Like I said, the Bible's on the phone these days. He will take anything you give him and breathe on it. But you got to give him something. You got to give him something to work with. So that's my encouragement to you today. Let's do our best to cultivate the character that leads to finishing well, to fix our gaze on things above and not beneath, to seek for the good of others, to seek to be a reproducing blessing in the good of others, and to pursue his kingdom and his righteousness, and to allow every other blessing to chase us down. May you finish well in the name of Jesus. Our Father and our God, I thank you for coming and being with us today. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for every person who has tuned in, everyone who will watch this in the future. Our goal for the remaining 16 days of this year is to finish well and to set a good tone as we walk into 2023, to possess our possession, to possess our peace, our love, our health, our healing, our money, our relationships, our careers, our businesses, our finances, to live a wealthy, abundant life in any arena of our life. Lord, where anyone has been going through long-term struggle or a battle, we call an end to it. Any persistent sickness or disease, I call an end to it in the name of Jesus. Any persistent conflict, I call an end to it in the name of Jesus. People who have been struggling and going around circles and circles, I pray that today you will enlighten their hearts and their minds, their understanding. You will give them ears to hear. You will give them the insight to pray. You will give them the interpretation to your instructions and what you've been laying on their heart, that they may have tactical success in all that they do in the name of Jesus. Lord, we will finish well. We will not leave on the table or not walk into 2023 with anything that you intended to give us in 2022 still pending, Papa. We want these blessings in these last days. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Order our steps. Suppress our flesh so that we can receive what you have for us. Miracles, signs, wonders, goodness, mercy. May all of these things follow us. And every single person connected to us in this ministry as a body. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I love you. I love you. I love you. As you already know, God bless you. And I'll see you in church on Sunday. Don't forget to share it with a friend, okay? Say goodnight so I know that you're there. Mommy Agnes, say goodnight so that I know that you're there. Give me some hearts. Give me some hearts. Give me some comments. Love y'all so much, church. Good night.
It's your name. We come to sing your praise today, Jesus. You are.